WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
A multi-billion dollar quantum computing campus is coming to Chicago's southeast side. But what does that mean? Is this a good thing or not for residents? And how do those residents feel about it? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. City and state officials are hosting an info session tonight about a quantum computing campus that's planned for the former Southworks site. That's a massive slice of Chicago's lakefront that sat vacant for decades. Until the 1980s, it was home to steel mills. But officials say by 2027, it'll transform into a high-tech research and development center. In recent years, plans for a movie studio, a mixed-use development, and a whole new neighborhood there did not pan out. So, how are Southeast Side residents feeling about the plan for a quantum computing campus? We sat down with Roman Villarreal, a lifelong resident, artist, and former steel mill worker, and local business owner Clifton Muhammad. He's also a board member of the Alliance for the Southeast Side. We began with Roman, asking him about what it was like growing up there and working in the steel mills. Here's Roman.
What's interesting about growing up in that era, it was steel. The steel mill was everybody's dream. And I remember as a young man, most of the people in the neighborhood never thought the mill would ever disappear. It would ever go. It would be there forever. And then when the day came when the mill stopped, it was amazing. It was amazing. To me, I always used to tell people, we almost made it to middle class. That was interesting for us.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood took a very heavy toll on the community, the people themselves. And during that period, it was rough. It was rough for everybody.
And you worked in the steel mills before and after you were drafted. I want to hear more about what it was like.
Well, I went into work in 1967 when I was 17 years old. And what it was is the mill, if your parents signed on, you would be able to go to work. We were getting paid $1.25 an hour during that period, which was it was good at that time for us. But it was a learning experience. And because I remember myself, when I was working on the docks, the loading docks, and I always had the skill of an artist, and always, you know, I was given the gift of shaping. So when I was working on the docks, we would be unloading, and I realized that there was a certain mud that you could create figurines out of. So what happened is I started creating, and I had dozens and dozens of them. So one day I had the idea, hide them. I started hiding, like Easter eggs, right? I started hiding them.
Yeah.
Put them here, put them there. And then not too long after that, I won the lotto to Vietnam.
Oh,
like
wow.
A lot of us in 68.
Right.
And next thing you know, and then after the military, I did my military time, I went back to work in the mill.
How was that transition?
For us at that time, the transition was that we're always meant to go. And even when we were in there during the military, the U.S. still kept us on board. So we were actually getting seniority while we were there.
I see.
So when I went back to the mill, I was there for at least another two, three more years. But what happened was I really wanted to excel. So I went to one of the top foremans there, and I started telling him, look, you know, I want to do this, and this. And he goes, no, Roman, you know, but this is what happens, seniority. I had to wait for 10 people to retire or die before I could start moving up in the thing. Mm. Not being a exceptional worker, which this is what I wanted to do. Well, they discouraged me. So I left the U.S. Steel. I started working at Wisconsin. I worked at Republic. So I started had a chance to see all the different mills. But the one that got hit the hardest was Wisconsin Steel. Mm. Because when they closed, they took away their credit union. And that's when the men, the majority of the men during that period, they really were hurt.
Right.
They really, U.S. was a little bit different, you know, but the majority, but Wisconsin, unforgettable. They can never forgive that, what they
right.
did there.
You know? Wow. Well, Clifton, I want to bring you in here. You moved to the Southeast Side in 2017. This is when you inherited a family business. So tell us a bit more about how that happened and what you found when you came to be a business owner in South Chicago.
Yeah, I unexpectedly inherit a record shop from my uncle.
Okay.
And our first plan was actually to liquidate, you know, figure out how to get our money out of it. And we put all of his inventory online, and in the process of trying to sell everything, the shop actually refused to cooperate with the plan. You know, listening to Roman's history is amazing. People from the community would walk in and, you know, tell us about, you know, sort of my uncle's time, his 30 years in the community. Neighboring business owners would come in and say, hey, we'll help you do whatever you need to keep things going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we're doing now is we're going to keep it going. We're going to reopen in a couple months, October 12th, ribbon cutting.
Okay.
And provide a hands-on music experience. And the business model that we're providing is actually going to depend on the community that, you know, Roman just talked about.
Yeah.
Providing foot traffic for other businesses, having people come in and provide a place that my wife and I, didn't see when we moved to the South Side of Chicago, places for people just to come together and gather. There's lots of great takeout, not a lot of coffee shops,
yeah.
not a lot of sit-down restaurants.
So I want to get back to the art that you mentioned that you make, Roman, because it's about the neighborhood and it's about the people. You call yourself an urban anthropologist. So tell us how that shows up in your art and why you make your work about the neighborhood specifically.
Well, it's very easy for me because what I was doing in my artwork in the early years, I didn't realize that all I was doing was sharing my experiences from the Southeast Side with the world. Now, one of the biggest ones that I got, I was able to create a monument to the steelworkers. So there's a 14-foot bronze sculpture dedicated to the steel dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very important for me that we leave that legacy there. Now, the problem that we're having right now with what's going on now with the new company coming in is what will happen to Steelworkers Park? I'm assuming that because of the way it's structured, the city of Chicago, that the park will always be there. But what's going on with a lot of us in the community on the subject of this new company is I don't think that we have enough information to feel comfortable because of everything that had happened prior to that. Like when they brought in, what was that one steel company that was bringing in their, you know, the ore or that.
Right.
But what it is, in order for our community to be safe from what's going on, there has to be more of communication.
Mm.
Because all we know right now is tidbits of what's going on. And I feel that to move forward with something of this magnitude,
yeah.
we should all be more aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, to that end, I want to hear from both of you. What do you want to hear from city and state officials tonight? You first, Clifton.
Oh, man, it'd be great to hear just, you know, sort of what the vision is. I can imagine a couple of scenarios. I can imagine a scenario where there's a beautiful campus that actually is connected with the community and puts more dollars into the pockets of my customers, you know, so that they're walking by my storefront, my neighbor's storefront with dollars in their pockets, and there're sort of fewer people walking by my storefront looking to get dollars.
Yeah.
Provides maybe some opportunities for kids to sort of get into the new fields that are coming, internships, et cetera. And I think there are ways to do that. My fear is that we don't know that this won't be a place that, you know, maybe, you know, provides an industrial plant with sort of the minimum, you know, on-site, you know, staffing, which could be, you know, a few dozen to maintain the facility. And who knows, maybe all of the big jobs or the great jobs are, you know, exported through the cloud to another neighborhood. Mm. So we just don't want to be skipped over.
These are all valid thoughts. What about you, Roman? What do you want to hear tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm going to be going to the meeting also, but the meeting, I really want to learn more about what they're doing. Because in my opinion, we could have turned that into a museum, a cultural center. Anything else that didn't involve industry and destroying the environment, what already is there. Because there's a lot of, one of the main questions that I've been asking now is that they need water. Okay, what's going to happen with the water once you use the water? So there's a lot of questions that we have to ask to feel comfortable for what's going on. Because the other, I think it was called liquid iron or something iron that was coming into the lakefront.
And
iron. General iron.
Yes.
And they were coming in from the north side coming here. Now, I had discussions with different people. At one point, they said, well, they were going to eliminate this. But they never really let the community know exactly what they were doing. And then the environmental group stepped forward, and we supported it because it was too hazardous for the community. Now, if they would have done it correctly and educate the community and say, no, we're going to do this, it might have benefited. But we're left in the dark. And it's very important that we need more information on what they're going to do in our community for our sake so we could support it. I mean, we know realistically that a lot of us are not going to take advantage of that. It'll just be there for us. But it's the future for our children and whoever's going to be living there that's important to us.
So here are some details that we do know so far about the Quantum campus. Now, it would be anchored by Silicon Valley startup PsiQuantum, which promises 150 jobs. Governor Pritzker has said that it could create anywhere from hundreds to thousands of jobs. It'll be called the Illinois Quantum and Microelectronics Park. Quantum computing is, some of us know, an emerging field, and quantum computers can potentially solve problems, they say, much, much faster than today's supercomputers. Now, Clifton, I know you're a board member, as I mentioned, for the Alliance for the Southeast. Now, that is a multicultural interfaith coalition of churches and schools and businesses. Mm-hmm. You're all working together to address the challenges that are facing the neighborhoods of Southeast Chicago. So, I mean, thinking back to what you just shared with me as some of your concerns, do they align with the goals of the Alliance when it comes to the planned quantum facility?
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't know. So we know that there's going to be a significant investment from the local tax holders. I think, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 million from the state of Illinois. And, you know, I went Googling around and I saw that Queensland in Australia actually had a similar deal from the same company. They're putting in about the same amount of money, you know, $400 million. And what's come out of their announcement are some very specific promises for, you know, 400 high-skilled jobs within Australia. Mm-hmm. They're expecting something like a $48 billion economic impact within Australia, up to 240,000 jobs within Australia, right? So, you know, so my question is, for what we're expected to contribute, you know, what's going to be our return on investment, you know, for the local community surrounding this particular plant?
Yeah. Well, you know, Roman, it sounds like you would have liked to see residents being able to explore other options, right? Are there fears that come to mind as we get closer to learning more about this facility?
Well, the main fear that a lot of people have is gentrification. What's going to happen to the community? Because, see, some of these homes that we're living in now, they're 133-year-old wooden buildings.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of things that has to be addressed on what's going to happen in the near future to make the community comfortable. Now, if what's going to happen is eventually, like what happens in other communities, taxes start going up, this and that, and then make it difficult for the rest of us to live there. Somehow or another, there has to be some kind of way that we could relate to each other to find out, hey, don't be afraid. This is going to happen. We're going to help you with this and help us in our community. Now, besides what they're going to be doing there, they can contribute things in the community that we need that are very important. Mm-hmm. Training our children to be skilled workers to go into the future. That's very, very important. We also have to figure out how to minimize homelessness, all the things that are pledging the city of Chicago right now. These are things that we have to solve, and with their cooperation, we could feel, hey, well, this is a plan that we could do this. We could do something that will make us safe and comfortable for what the future is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the least we know, we're nervous. We don't know what's
the unknown. Yeah.
And I wish that if this particular company is who it is, let us get more education. Let us learn more so we're comfortable with what's going to happen. Because I'm for the community to move forward, because we're the elders of the community. We want to see that our children, we leave something in a legacy to our children for the future. Now, if we make a mistake now, South Chicago will disappear. And a whole new group of people will come in, and that's what they're afraid of. Because it is
a big fear.
It's a big, vast amount of land that's over there. We all know that. We look at it simplified. Bring something that doesn't take away from the land, the water. Like, for instance, I love what they're doing with the Obama Library. I wish it would have came to us, the library. Or something that's more beneficial to the future of our children.
Mm. Clifton, do you see this quantum computing campus as a source of potential for surrounding neighborhoods?
Oh, I think it has tremendous potential. I think we have to be intentional about taking advantage of that potential. I think if the will is there, if the desire is there, if the commitment is there, quite frankly, from Psi Quantum. To say, hey, you know what? We're going to make sure that that the opportunities that this investment brings is going to be available to people in the local community, right? And we're going to make sure that the environmental impacts, some of the things that Roman just talked about, we're going to be responsible in mitigating those, so that we do a good job at preserving the beauty of Steelworkers Park and not leave it with whatever compressor noise or hot water coming out or whatever.
Right.
So I think it's very possible. I think we just need, we all just need to make a commitment to get there.
You've watched the neighborhood change so much over the years, Roman. I mean, talk more about what you want to see next for this area, regardless of this quantum campus.
Well, the main thing to me is, I mentioned one time in a discussion I had with some people, once we were steel, now our steel is our children. We have to educate our young to be able to compete with the world, and it's not happening. We're having something is missing in the puzzle, but it could be solved. It could be solved, and I believe that a company of this thing to be part of the community by educating us more so that our children could benefit from it.
Yeah.
But that's the most important thing, to leave a legacy in this community.
For the future generation.
Yeah. And the most important thing for us, that especially as artists, is they take away Steelworkers Park. Now, nobody has mentioned, will the park stay there? But we do know that the city has a thing about the waterfront. How will it affect the park? Now, when they're going to be building and doing all this, how will it affect the park? Because the park is a jewel. It's just starting to become a something, because we got some really beautiful plans as artists for that park.
Oh, wow.
One of the biggest ones that we want to do is we want to have an international collection of artists on the ore walls. Now, you got to imagine, these ore walls are 40 feet by almost a quarter of a mile. We would have the biggest gathering of artists and murals in the United States.
Wow.
If we could do it. Now, we're willing to share this with the powers that be. Say, for instance, okay, fine. Let us have it, lease it for 5 years. Now, if you got something for that property later on, you could take it back. But while we have it, this would add another something pride to the community as we're going forward into the future.
You should mention it tonight.
Well, if I'm allowed to.
If you're allowed.
If I'm allowed to, because we really don't know the schedule and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we have been pushing that issue. It's just that in other words, some of the ideas that we have, we have to tell them to the right people,
right,
so that we could get across. That one is the most simplest and the most powerfulest for the community, because of the fact that it would draw people to our community and come and see us and share things. Because right now, there is a future for our downtown South Chicago. There is, because they're rebuilding, they're doing all these things. But we have to,
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see what happens later. Thank you for sharing with us. We've been talking about the former Southworks steel plant. This is on Chicago's lakefront on the south side. After years lying vacant, a quantum computing campus is scheduled to open there in 2027. And we've been talking with two Southeast Side residents, artist and former steelworker Roman Villarreal and local business owner Clifton Mohammed. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Ari Mejia, and it was edited by Dan Tucker. Reset pairs nuance and breaking news. If this sounds like what you're looking for, well, make sure to check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.